I feel a bit embarrassed doing this today when we've got a real-life farmer here. And I don't know anything about farming, apart from staying in a milking parlour that's converted into a very comfortable accommodation. But I've been thinking about the farmers this year, and I thought it was good that we should think about the farmers at our harvest, because we always think about TIFF and Ready Food, which is really good and important, but we kind of don't quite think about the farmers so much. The other thing I apologise for is that I do tend to go for the negative. That's my thing, instead of the positive. And I'm sure there's lots of positive things in farming, and a lot of successful things, a lot of good things, and whatever, but there's also problems. So I entitled this, Spare a Thought for the Farmers. It says, as we celebrate harvest this year, we once again reflect on those in need across the world and support the work of TIFF Fund and those closer to home in our town as we support Ready Food. But let us spare a thought for the farmers, those who work the land to produce crops, and also those who work on the land caring for the livestock. As I said, I don't know anything about farming, so I have to look it up and try to find out. I've been reading that rural poverty is silent and unnoticed by the urban majority, but it can be acute. Low incomes combined with rising costs of feed, fertiliser and diesel leads to rapidly accelerating debt of an order that would terrify most of us. Poor prices, disease, weather, government bureaucracy and the drive-by supermarkets for ever cheaper food has led many farmers into despair. And because they work in isolation, the outcome can be devastating. Debt and despair lead to higher than average incidence of family breakup and mental illness. Our farmers feel abandoned by the government and betrayed by business. Now, I've been reading something about the Farming Community Network, and they say they're a Christian ecumenical voluntary organisation. And they've got a countrywide network of volunteers who view it as their mission to help farming people through difficult times in their lives. They've got 300 or so volunteers, and they all come from farming backgrounds and rural communities, as it's important that farmers can talk to people who understand their problems. They have a national helpline manned 365 days a year by volunteers who refer callers to a local volunteer who will come and listen and walk with the family through the duration of the problems, sometimes for weeks, months, or even years. So let's spare a thought for the farmers this harvest time. Jesus often used farmers and agriculture in his illustrations about the kingdom of God. And I found this reflection from a man called Reverend Canon Tony Ingleby. And it's on Mark 4:26-29. Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn. First the thick stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. And this is what his thoughts are. Lord, you make it sound all very simple. Scatter the seed, then go to bed and sleep. No mention of soil analysis, market analysis, subsidy payments analysis. No mention of buying the machinery or hiring the contractor. Then there's choosing the crop and the variety. Ploughing, rolling, harrowing, enriching the soil with fertilisers, top dressing, weed control, pest control. You make no mention of what to do with the field margins, maintaining the hedges, promoting the wildlife, and jumping through the hoops and filling in the forms to qualify for environmental payments. No, it simply scatter the seed, and then, all by itself, the soil produces corn. Then all we have to do is harvest it. No mention of the chance that despite all your best efforts, you might not make a living. So farming is a lot more complicated than any of us, apart from one, would understand. I hope you don't mind me saying this. That's a lovely hymn we just sang. But there's a danger when we sing hymns like that, that it kind of sounds all very simplistic and idealistic. Like they just sow the seeds and it grows and it's wonderful, and the sun comes just when you want it and the rain comes just when you want it. But it seems maybe it's a bit far away from the day-to-day reality for our farmers. So let's pray. Lord, as we come today to bring our grateful thanks for the harvest and all your good gifts, acknowledging our dependence on you, we want to spare a thought for the farmers and those working to produce food for us. They've always had to deal with the vagaries of the weather, pests and diseases, but they're also the political, market and global forces that impact on what they do. And then there is perhaps the uncertainty of Brexit, the changing attitudes to what we should eat, how our food is produced, the way we use animals and care for the environment are all tremendous challenges to our farmers. So we give thanks for those working in agriculture and pray for them and those who give their time to help those who are finding themselves in despair and debt. We pray for the work of organisations like the Farming Community Network. Please help them and give them wisdom and sensitivity. Forgive us that we have been seduced into believing that we have the right to have just what we want, when we want it, that it should be cheap, but still perfectly formed. We give thanks that there is a growing desire to fight food waste in our society, and we're really glad to see wonky fruit and vegetables appearing in our supermarkets. And now some prayers from the FCN website. First, a prayer of confession. As we celebrate your goodness, so we confront our own sin, our greed and insensitivity, our failure to appreciate what we have and the opportunities you've given, our readiness to complain, our unwillingness to praise. Father, forgive and renew us. Food taken for granted, work unappreciated and poorly rewarded, self-centred blindness to others' needs, deliberate deafness to the cries of the hungry, coldness of heart to those deprived of affection. Father, forgive us and renew us. A landscape threatened and an economy at risk, a countryside disheartened, its communities uncertain and confused, its isolation and exclusion ignored. Father, forgive and renew us. May our sins be forgiven, our blindness, deafness and coldness of heart be healed. May your renewing spirit rest on us and fill our nation with your love and hope. In Jesus' name, amen. And then one short prayer to finish that. O God, our Father, we thank you that once again you fulfilled your gracious promise that while earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not fail. We bless you for the kindly fruits of the earth which you have given to our use. Teach us when we pray that it is not by bread alone that we live, and grant us evermore to feed on him who is the true bread from heaven, even Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. And I'd just like to finish with a final thought that I found on that website. We've been on holiday in North Devon, and we did encounter quite a few tractors on all these narrow roads. And they seem to have all these weird and wonderful attachments now that look quite frightening, really. I don't know what they all are. And while we were away, and I was looking up and thinking about this service, I came across an article called Stuck Behind a Tractor. Now, we may not meet tractors too much in our daily life, but when we do, how do we react? Now, this lady, who's called the Reverend Sarah Brown, her reflection was that we probably don't find ourselves singing songs of everlasting thanks and praise to our great God for his generous provision, or blessing the farmers for the work they do to put food on our plates. So she set a challenge, and I tried to do my best to put it into practice. If you get stuck behind a tractor or a combine or a plough or any other mysteriously shaped implement, take it as an opportunity for reflection, for thanksgiving and for praise. Why should you bother? Firstly, because praising God for what he gives us should become a matter of habit in all of us. And secondly, because as a nation we owe a huge debt of gratitude to the farmers who are taken totally for granted by most of us, who have become emotionally and practically detached from the source of our food. So when you get stuck behind that tractor, take a deep breath, smile, and wave at the farmer, and ask for God's blessing on his family and work. Amen. Reflect on our corporate relationship to food and the land as the God-given source of all our well-being, and praise God from whom all blessings flow. So let's spare a thought for the farmers as we celebrate God's goodness this harvest time.
Thank you. Hallelujah. I'm just going to pray. Lord, I just pray, Father, that the words I say will be acceptable before you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ruth, for that. That was brilliant. That was absolutely brilliant. My son is always driving tractor all over the place. And the amount of abuse he gets, you would not believe. You would not believe. And I shouldn't tell you this really, but the more abuse we get, the slower we get. Okay? We have competitions, how many we can get behind us. Yeah? So if people start tooting, flashing and giving hand signals, we'll go slower. Okay? And I'm a volunteer in FCN. Yeah? FCN is like Samaritans for farmers. And we get called upon to go to farms, to help farmers, other farmers. Because we work on our own so much, a lot of farmers get self-reliant and don't want to ask for help, you know. And so I've been on farms, voluntary helping and things, you know. And farming has got the highest suicide rate of any industry in the country. There's one farmer a week takes his own life, and I've been on farms and I've comforted farmers' wives whose husbands has gone in the barn and shot themselves. Yeah, I've had them hang around my neck and my shirt's been wet with their tears. Yeah, so it's a hard job, ours. It's a hard job, but I'm not come to say what a hard job it is. I come to speak about faith and farming, you know. So I've got a few things I'd like to share. Just really some testimonies and things, you know. If I had to bring my crop, it'd be this. This would be my crop, yeah. A steak and kidney pie, because I'm a beef farmer. Yeah? So our crops are calves. We produce beef calves, yeah? And to produce beef calves, we need one of these. Yeah, obviously? Yeah, we need a bull. Yeah, so faith comes in this because we needed a new bull. And these things don't come cheap, okay? The record for one of these is 150,000. Yeah? And that was about 2 years ago. So when you go to buy one of these, it's a major investment for your farm. It's like buying a tractor. And we needed a new bull. And we were praying. And the scripture come to me. Before they call, I will answer. Yeah? I thought, wow, that's a funny scripture to come to me. So, within a few hours of that scripture coming to me, I got a phone call from another person who keeps livestock, and they live in Wales, and they said, well, we were just travelling through Hampshire, Berkshire way, and we wondered if you had any empty barns that we could rent from you to put our livestock in. And I said, yeah, I said, we have got an empty barn at the minute. And so he came that day, the same day the Lord gave me that scripture, and he said, well, how much do you want to rent this barn for the winter? So I did a bit of quick mental arithmetic, like most farmers have to, and I said 13,000. So he said, fine. He paid me there and then. And we heard about this bull that was coming up for auction. The farmer was selling his farm. And this was really sad because his daughter was starved of oxygen at birth. And she had full-time care till she was 16. But then between 16 and 18, there's no provision for full-time care until she's 18. And so he had to sell all his cows to pay for full-time care for those 2 years. Yeah? And so he put all the cows up for sale, and this was one of the best herds in the country. And my wife and I travelled to Newark to this auction, and there was hundreds and hundreds of people there. People were flying in with helicopters and all over the place. It's a really famous herd. And we were walking around the pens of cattle, and I said to my wife, great man of faith, that bull's going to take a lot of buying today. But I just slipped my hand through the fence, and I just put my hand on that bull. I said, Lord, please give us this bull. And the auction was going on. And when it came time for the bull to come in for the auction, everybody was waiting. It was the last animal, because they always keep the best one till last, when there's a hush come on the auction. And it was a big auditorium, like an amphitheatre. And as the bull come in, one of the farming media guys stood up in front of me and started taking some photos, like he was from the farming press. And I couldn't see the auctioneer. So I said to my wife, who was sat next to me, I said, you're going to have to bid on this bull, because I can't see the auctioneer. And so she started bidding on this bull, and surprisingly, it got to 13,000 and stopped. Yeah? Of all the figures it could have made, it stopped to 13,000. And I looked at my wife and I said, are you sure that's your bid? She said, yeah. And the auctioneer dropped the hammer, and we had it. And I was just sat in the auction with the tears running down my face, because I could see God at work. Yeah? He knows what we have need of. Yeah? The Word of God says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Yeah? There is cattle anyway. Yeah? And he wants the best for us, doesn't he? Yeah? So at the end of the auction, the auctioneer came up to my wife and he said to her, he said, how did you manage to buy that bull for that price, Mrs. Butler? 3 times he repeated that question to her. How did you manage to buy that bull for that price, Mrs. Butler? And in the end, I said to him, well, I'll tell you how we bought that bull for that price. I said, we got friends in high places. And I said, they don't come any higher than where we got them. And he looked at me, because he thought I'd rigged the auction. Because what you see on the TV of auctions is incredibly corrupt. Yeah? These auctions are corrupt. And he said, what do you mean? He said, do you mean the Lord Almighty? I said, yeah, I do. So, God give us this bull. And he produced a load of prize-winning calves for us. And we were in an area in this part of West Berkshire that is on a 4-year TB testing, where we only have to test the cows once every 4 years. And we'd never had one. And then that interval went down to every year. And then it went down to every 6 months. So every 6 months, we have to TB test our cattle. And the TB test that is used is the same test that they've used for 40 years. And it's very out of date. and it's very unreliable. And we got a phone call from the government to my family, and my sister took the phone call, and then she spoke to my wife, and she said, "Who's going to tell him that that bull has tested positive?" My family were afraid to tell me that this bull had tested positive. And I knew that that bull never had TB. Anyway, my wife told me, it was kind of like, light the touch paper and see what happens, you know. But I had such a peace about it. And we spoke to the people. We said, "Can we test him again? Can we appeal about it? Can we keep the bull? Can we do anything?" And they said, no, the bull's got to go. He's tested positive. And we just couldn't. They wouldn't hear nothing. So I took the bull, and the only way to prove 100% whether an animal's got TB or not is to kill it. Because they inspect their lungs, yeah? And the only way you can tell if an animal's got TB is they've got scars on their lungs, they've got lesions. So when they kill them, they inspect the lungs, and the bull was completely clear. Yeah? And it kind of, I thought about it, you know? It reminded me of someone else that got killed. It was innocent. Yeah? He was completely innocent, friends, wasn't he? Yeah. So was this bull. Completely innocent. But it's too late when they're dead, isn't it? Too late. To rub salt in the wound, if this bull had been killed in Scotland or Wales, we'd have got valuation on him. A valuer would come from the auction and we'd have got his market value. Because it was killed in England, and I'm so careful what I'm saying here because I'm preaching the gospel, I don't want to get political. We get a flat rate. So the flat rate is, whether you've got a Rolls Royce like this was, or whether you've got a clapped out old Mini, you get the same price. And it was £2,000. Yeah? And you know, I have to remember what Job said, you know? He said, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Yeah? It's his bull. It was his bull before he let me borrow it. Yeah? So that's what we have to put up with. Day by day by day. Even my vet, who I've known for 30 years, he said, "That bull hasn't got TB." He tried ringing the ministry. He begged on my part, you know. Wouldn't listen at all. And I'm fortunate enough that I go down to Wales quite a lot. And I speak to a lot of farmers. And in Wales, the TB's terrible. Even worse than it is about here. And now I can speak to them because I've had it, yeah? Unless you've had it, friends, how can you have empathy with people unless you've been there? You know? You know, I have farmers that can't buy nothing, can't sell nothing. It's like running your business with all your day-to-day costs, but you can't sell nothing. So all your inputs are the same, but you've got nothing to sell. And you wonder why farmers giving up wholesale, yeah? You know, it says in the Word of God, doesn't it, by the sweat of your brow shall you eat bread, yeah? Well, friends, there's a lot of farmers sweating so that you guys can eat bread, yeah? The food is too cheap. Food is far, far, far too cheap. 40 or 50 years ago, about 40% of your annual money would have gone on food. It's less than 10% now. It's about 8% goes on food. Yeah? Food's too cheap. Nobody values it. You're talking about food waste. What we throw away, friends. Yeah? But this meeting with this auctioneer led to something else. And it was my son Samuel, he was born with bent legs. And when he got to 18, the doctor said that he needed a lot of major operations on them to straighten them. And he would need 8 major operations on his legs. And he would be out of action for at least a year. And he works with me on the farm. So I said to him, you're going to want a full-time carer when you've had these operations. Because it cut right through his legs here and this way, and brought his legs straight. And I said, we're going to have to reduce the number of cows we got so that I can look after you. Because at the time, my wife was working full-time. And my son believes in Jesus. And he said, Dad, he said, we should pray. We should put a fleece down like Gideon did and ask God what to do with them. So I said, okay, Sam. So I said, we'll pray that we will get a favourable rate from the auctioneers. They won't charge us so much commission as a fleece. And my son, he said, Dad, I want to add another fleece to that, that the auctioneers will help us pay the haulage to take them to the market. Because these were sold at Newark, and that's a long way from here in Nottingham, you know. So we wanted several big Arctics, big double-deckers. So I phoned this auctioneer up, and he came and saw me. And he looked at the cattle, and he said, yeah, he said, I heard you've got good cattle. You see, we try and produce the best we can, yeah. Because the Word of God says, whatever you do, do it to your best, yeah. And, you know, we want the best cattle in the country because we're cowmen for the king. Yeah. We ain't cowmen for anybody else. I'm cowmen for the king. And I want his to have the best, yeah? So this auctioneer came and see me, the same one that sold us his bull. And he came on the farm and he looked and he said, yeah, he said, I'd like to sell him at my auction. And the Holy Spirit just said to me, tell him your testimony, how you met Jesus. So I started sharing Jesus with this auctioneer. And he looked at me as I'm sharing Jesus with him. And he said, he put his hand up and he said, oh my God. I said, what's the matter? And he said, well, he said, my wife's got cancer, ovarian cancer. And he said, she's a Catholic. And she said that their 2 young children was due for their first Holy Communion. And she wasn't well enough to take them. So he took them for their first Holy Communion. Because it's a really big thing for them. And while he was there, he said to God, he said, if you're there, if you're real, get in touch, would you? Within a week, he's on my farm. Yeah? He said to God, if you're real, get in touch. So, he was on the farm, and he said, when I got the children back from their first Holy Communion, he said, I sat in my kitchen, and he said, I wish I had faith. And I was sat in his Range Rover on the farm, and I shared Jesus with him for 5 hours. And he was like a sponge. He was just taking everything in. And he told me how his wife was poorly, and I said, can I pray for her? And so I prayed for his wife. And then he started holding his shoulder. And I said, what's the matter with your shoulder? And he said, oh, it's really damaged. And I said, could I pray for you? And I laid hands on him and prayed for him. And he felt it, repair work happened in his shoulder, you know. He said, wow, I said, like, that's amazing, yeah. And then he said, can I sell your cattle at my auction? And I said, well, I said, it's the commission. So he said, well, I'll reduce it. So he reduced the commission. And then he said, well, can I sell your cattle? And I said, well, they've got to go I think it's 150 mile, and we need 2 double-deck Arctics. And he said, I'll pay for one of them for you. Yeah? So we knew that we was in God's will, because we'd had the 2 fleeces. And we took them to market on the 3rd of July. It was one of the hottest days of the year. They come out of the lorry, they looked like death warmed up. And he come to me, the auctioneer, and he said, are you worried about tomorrow, the sale? I said, no. Anyway, we booked in a travel lodge, and Sam and I prayed that night. And isn't it wonderful when you see your children moving on in God and encouraging you, you know? He said, Dad, he said, God's told me there's someone that lives a long way away from here that needs to see our cattle. He said, we've got to pray that they're there tomorrow. So we prayed in that hotel room that these, whoever it was, would be there. We got to the market early in the morning and cleaned them all up, and they looked different cattle the next day. And this Scotch guy came over to us, and he said, oh, he said, I wasn't expecting to be here today, he said. He said, I come from Aberdeen, and he said, I got a phone call last night. He said, someone had come in the market at night to look at your cattle. And he'd phoned this guy in Aberdeen and said, you need to come down here. They're the ideal cattle what you want. This guy jumped in his car and he drove down from Aberdeen to buy them. When at that time, a cow with a calf that was worth about £1,000. And I stepped up in the rostrum with the auctioneer, and I said, before you sell my cattle, I want to pray for you. So I put my hand on his shoulder and I prayed for him. And he started selling our cattle. And they went up and up and up. Up and up. And stuff that should have been 1,000 was making 2,000, 3,000. And the best one made 4,200. And the auctioneer looked at me and he said, I knew you had friends in high places, he said, but I didn't know how high they was. Yeah? Yeah? We serve some miracle-working God friends, don't we? Amen. Yeah? Yeah? I said to that auctioneer, I said, I want to pray for God to bless you. I put my hand on his shoulder and I asked God's blessing on him. Within 3 months, he was voted auctioneer of the year. Yeah? I'd have loved to say that I led him to the Lord, but I didn't. But I sowed the seed. Yeah? Yeah? And you know, unless you sow the seed, there ain't going to be no harvest, is there? Hey? Without sowing the seed, there's no harvest. And I brought this little box in here. This is my wife's box. She enjoys gardening. I don't know, to tell you the truth. And as you can see, right, it's full of all these seeds. Yeah? We got carrot seeds, parsnip seeds, all kinds of seeds, you see. And every time she goes to the shop, she buys packets of seed. Now, this one says, so by the first 2018, yeah? This one says, so by May 2017. This one says July 17, so by July 17, yeah? This one says, so by 2017. Oh, heck, it's getting worse. This one says, so by 2013. She's a good gardener, my Liz. You know, she's a tremendous gardener. But you see, what this speaks to me about is missed opportunities. Yeah? Missed opportunities. Yeah? This is missed opportunities, friends. Yeah? We got to take our opportunities, yeah? For us to have a harvest, we've got to be sowing. And you know, when God gave Noah that promise, he said, well, the earth remains, seed time and harvest will not fail. And you know, I believe that's the same in the spiritual realm as well. Yeah, seed time and harvest will not fail. And 1 Peter 1 verse 23 says, the living word of God is imperishable seed. Yeah? It's imperishable. Yeah? And, you know, this seed is perished because it's out of date. Yeah? It might germinate, it might not. But this seed, friends, is imperishable. Yeah? This seed is imperishable. Isaiah 55 verse 11 says, God's word never returns to him void, but it always accomplishes what he sends it out to do. Yeah? So, you know, we might not be Billy Graham's friends, but there's only one of them. There's more than one of you here. Yeah? You got the seed. Yeah? It's imperishable. Yeah? It won't germinate in the packet. Yeah? This word won't germinate until you spread it. You've got to spread it. Yeah? And Ecclesiastes 11 verse 4 says, whoever observes the wind will not sow, and whoever regards the clouds will not reap. See, when I spoke to that auctioneer, I could have said, he's going to think I'm a dimwit if I start talking to him about Jesus. Yeah? He's going to think I'm daft. We ain't going to be able to do no business with him. Yeah? Does it matter what he thinks, friends? Does it matter what any of us think? Eh? Opinions are to a penny. We've all got them. Yeah? They don't mean nothing. You know, I hope you don't care what my opinion of you is, and I don't care what your opinion of my, you, yeah? There's only one's opinion I care about, and that's his. And he thinks I'm hot dog, all right? Yeah? And that's all that matters. That's all that matters. He loves me. Yeah?
Amen.
Yeah, hallelujah. Amen. If you're waiting for perfect conditions to sow, you might as well wait forever, yeah? We had the wettest spring on record this spring, yeah? The corn went in terrible late, yeah? And from when that corn went in, it never got rained on, yeah? You might not think I'm old enough, but I remember 1976, yeah? Yeah, I remember it. That wasn't as dry as this year, yeah? Because that 76, that drought started later. The drought this time started in May. We ain't had any rain since May. The only real rain we really had was yesterday. Yeah? I don't know what the cattle have been eating, friends. Yeah? Most livestock people have fed all what they've conserved for the winter. It's gone. Yeah? The price of feed has gone up there. The price of livestock's gone down there. Yeah? If you haven't got feed, what can you do with them? You can't. Yeah? Yeah? The price of straw for the cattle to lie on is normally 50 to 70 pound a ton. Yeah, that's just for them to lie down clean on. It's been nearly 200 pound a ton. They don't eat it. It's for them to lie down clean on. Yeah? Corn has gone from 80 pound a ton to close on 200. Yeah? And our end product, what we sell, our beef, has gone down in price. Yeah? We're getting £2 a kilo for beef. That's £1 a pound. Yeah? You go in Sainsbury's and say, can I have some of that £1 a pound beef that you bought off that farmer? They'll laugh you out of the shop. Yeah? It's unrighteous, friends. That's what it is. It's unrighteous. Yeah? The word of God says, a labouring man is worthy of his hire. And it also says, don't muzzle the ox that treads out grain. Yeah? It's unrighteous. See, that parable Jesus told that you shared, Ruth, about the sower was very liberal with that seed, wasn't he? He threw the seed everywhere, yeah? He didn't care whether it fell on hard ground, soft ground, weedy ground. He was liberal with it, yeah? Now, by the law of averages, some of that will fall on good ground and grow, won't it? Yeah? He didn't go around with a little stick, sticking it in the ground and going, oh, don't put any there. That ground's too hard. It ain't going to germinate. Did he? He chucked it everywhere. And that's our job. Yeah? Yeah? We ain't responsible for the harvest, friends. Yeah? With the best will in the world, I can't make this stuff grow. Yeah? Just chuck it everywhere. The law of average, some of it will hit the good ground. And what we've got to remember too, friends, not all seed germinates at the same time, do it? Hey? Have you thought about that? Have you thought about that, Dominic? Not all seed germinates at the same time. You put a potato in, you ain't going to see no green for weeks. You put cress and mustard in, you'll see it the next day. Yeah? Won't you? Yeah? So not all seed germinates at the same time. James chapter 5 verse 7 says, "Be patient therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also must be patient." You see, I've been a Christian long enough to know that there's too many people being pushed into the kingdom. Yeah? I've seen it. Too many people have been pushed into the kingdom. And do you know what happens then? You get premature birth. Yeah? And when you get premature birth, it's like a baby. Those folk need a long time in an incubator and they need intensive care. Yeah? You don't want premature birth. James wrote there, be patient. Yeah? The seed is incorruptible. Yeah? My father, he's in heaven now, right? Okay? He shared Jesus with a man for 50 years. And as far as I know, that man in the kingdom. When he came to my father's funeral, I said to him, "John, my father prayed for you for 50 years. I'm taking over from him." Yeah? I don't think my dad's 50 years worth of praying for John is wasted. No, it ain't. Ten. See, there's lots of opportunities for us, yeah? If we want to see a harvest, we must sow, yeah? And you know, there's something else I want to share with you too. It's Romans 1 verse 25. It says, "They worshipped and served the creation rather than the creator." Yeah? My livestock has got more rights than unborn human beings. Say that again. My cows have got more rights than unborn human beings. You can kill unborn human beings by the thousand. If I'm cruel to my animals, I'll be locked up for it. That's the word of God coming true. They'll worship the creation, not the creator. Yeah? People think farmers are cruel and we're not. The word of God says a righteous man regards the welfare of his animals. Yeah? If our animals aren't doing well, we ain't doing well. If you knew the hours I spend when my cows are giving birth, you wouldn't believe it. I hardly go to bed. Yeah? Because we're there when they're giving birth. My vet, he says to me, he says, "We have the percentages that farmers dream of." Yeah? "We have over 100% success with our calves when they're born. The national average is about 70. For every 100 cows you breed, you might get 70 calves. Yeah? A few years back, we were running an alpha course at our farm. And a couple that were coming phoned and said, "Can we bring a visitor?" And they brought this lady over, and she was visiting from South Africa. And she came in, and she said to me, "Do you keep livestock?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "I've got a message from God for you." I said, "What's that then?" I said, "Could you write it down?" So she wrote it down, and I showed my wife. And it said, "I will supernaturally cause your cows to have many calves. This will be the sign of my hand of blessing upon you." Well, we started the cows calving in the spring, and the calves kept calves after calves after calves. And we weren't on the phone to the vet, and my vet called in and he said, "Is everything going all right with the calving period?" I said, yeah. He said, well, you haven't phoned me. Because I'm the only farmer that phones them at 2 o'clock in the morning. Because I'm the only farmer that checked my cows at 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, when they're giving birth. And he said, you haven't phoned this calf in season. I said, no. I said, they've been so straightforward and easy. They've been popping the calves, you know. And when we got to the end of the calving season, we had 117 calves born alive out of 115 cows. We had two sets of twins. Yeah? That's God. That don't happen, yeah? My vet has seen more miracles than you have. My vet, yeah? Occasionally, we breed these cattle, right? They're like the Arnold Schwarzenegger of the cow world, yeah? Sometimes the cows have to have a cesarean, yeah? And before the vet does the cesarean, we do it together, we pray. We anoint the cow with oil, lay hands on her and pray, yeah? And that vet have seen so many miracles. One particular calving period, we did three cesareans in one night, and that is unheard of. Okay, we might have one or two cesareans a year. We had three one night. And we were in the barn all night. After we delivered the third one, I looked around the barn, there was another cow giving birth. And I said to the vet, I said, look, while you're here, can we deliver that calf before you go? So he said, fine. So while we'd been totally absorbed in doing these cesareans, this other cow had been given birth, and the calf was breech, yeah? So the calf was coming with his back legs first. And what happens is that the cord breaks and the calf drowns in the fetal fluids, yeah? So we delivered the calf, and it had obviously been dead inside her for a small period of time. And what I always do, I always put my finger on their eye, on their eyeball, and then you get a reaction. And if that happens, you know whether they're alive or dead. And I did this, there's nothing at all, nothing. The calf was as dead as a stone. So I just got down on my knees in the barn, and I said, Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name. Lord, just bring life at this calf. Lord, just that same spirit that raised Lazarus from the dead, be evident in this calf's body. And the calf shook its head and started breathing. Yeah? And this happened no end of times, right? The vet saw it, right? He got up on his feet. He ran out of the barn. He hurdled a 6-foot gate. And he got in his car and he couldn't get out of our yard fast enough. Yeah? And the guy that works me on the farm, he said, whatever happened with that vet? I said, he see a miracle. I said, and the fear of God fell on him. He couldn't get out of the place quick enough. Yeah? See, this don't, beating people over the head with this don't win people. Okay? They want to see what Jesus means to you. They want to see miracles. Yeah? They want to see what Jesus done for you yesterday and the day before. Yeah? It's got to be real, friends, isn't it? It's got to be real. Yeah? So, you know, the challenge to every one of us is, if we got boxes like this at home, if we got boxes like this, look at all these in here. There's dozens of packets here. Yeah? All this seed had potential. Look. We could have been swimming in tomatoes. Yeah? It all had potential, didn't it? And you and I have liked this seed. We all got potential, yeah? But it ain't going to germinate unless we sow it, yeah? So the challenge to every one of us today is sow it, yeah? Use what you got, yeah? And you know, farming in a way of making money, okay? I said to my accountant one day, I said, if money interested me, I wouldn't be a farmer. Yeah? I love it. I was looking at some photographs last night, some old black and white photographs, going back to 1920, as my father and my grandfather. My father stood on a horse and cart, and my grandfather is pitching sheaves to him. Yeah? It's a way of life. We're privileged to see God at work, firsthand. Yeah? We're privileged. You know, creation speaks God. Creation speaks God all the time. Newborn calf, right? How does it know where to go to feed? How does it know that it's got to get between that cow's back legs to get the colostrum to feed? Eh? It's got it built in it because God gave it it, didn't it? Yeah? That cow's never given birth before. She knows to go straight away and lick it to stimulate it, yeah? That didn't happen through no Big Bang, friends, did it? Hey? If there was a Big Bang, like Jesus done the Big Bang, all right, yeah? So, you know, it's been a hard year for farmers, yeah? But seed time and harvest hasn't failed, yeah? And never will it. Never will it, yeah? I believe this earth is big enough to feed everybody, friends. Yeah? I believe it with my whole heart, yeah? It's distribution and greed, yeah? This God's put all these resources on this planet for us to use, yeah? Yeah? And you know, you can't mess with nature, right? You're never going to beat nature, yeah? God's made it good, yeah? Man's messed it up. But you know, God's given us plenty. He's given us everything we need. And we take it all for granted, you know? We take it all for granted. So, you know, next time when you sit down to your bit of beef or your lamb or your pork or whatever, you know, someone spent a lot of time producing that, a lot of time, yeah, for very little return, yeah? You know, when we send our cows for beef, from start to finish, that's took 3 years, okay? When the supermarket has them, they have them for a week, possibly two, yeah? And they'll make 100 times more in a week than we will make in 3 years. Yeah? So, you know, just use what God's give you, yeah? Use that seed, yeah? Because there's people that you're going to talk to that I can't talk to, yeah? I can talk to farmers, yeah? I meet farmers every day of my life, and I share Jesus with them, yeah? But you meet supermarket people. You meet people in the schools and the hospitals, yeah? They're just waiting to hear what you've got, yeah? You've got the gospel of Jesus. You've got the good news, yeah? Yeah? You know, in your welcoming party in heaven, that auctioneer might be in there, yeah? That seed that I sowed into his life, he might be in the kingdom. That person that you spoke to when you was filling your car with petrol, they might be in the kingdom because you shared that good news with them. You're going to be selfish with it. Well, I'm in the kingdom, it's all right. I got my insurance policy. What about those poor lost people? Don't be selfish with it, friends. They don't know. Wouldn't it be terrible on Judgment Day if we stood there and one of your neighbours is there and they're going to go down and they say, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? Eh? Amen.